Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me in studio is...
Hi, Tom Magrino. I'm just laughing because I'm thinking that I could totally derail a conversation the entire time that we'd be doing this podcast, and we just need to start.
So, yeah, that's Tom Magrino. That's the most Tom Magrino thing you've ever said.
Okay.
We also have...
Henry Gilbert. Hey.
And Lucas Sullivan.
Awesome. One of the reasons we have to get to this podcast is because we're recording it a little late, and there's so much news to talk about, which is related to why we're doing it late. It's been a busy week.
Yeah. This is the closest to live an episode's been.
Exactly. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, no, we had to wake up early and do it on Friday morning. Guess what? It's Friday afternoon.
It's like we woke up early Friday morning and couldn't get in here.
Nothing doing.
Couldn't get in here.
But before we get to the news, which involves THQ's closure.
Starting with the top list? Closure.
Yeah, we're going to start with the top seven.
Top 10 abortions of all time.
No. No.
This is almost like an abortion, though.
It sort of is.
The Onion honors Roe v. Wade.
Well, I'm saying we kind of did that, too, with the top seven most ambitious flops in gaming. Written by UK's David Houghton. Let's start with number seven, which is Lair. Now, I remember early this generation, I wasn't the biggest fan of Sony. So for me, this was like a VP
Christmas
day,
present.
Victory over PlayStation day. you had Lair, which was a developer I love, Factor 5. They made one of my favorite games, which is that Star Wars game that launched on the GameCube.
Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron 2, Rogue Leader, I believe. Yes. Beautiful game. Great game. And now then they made a sequel to that. Mm-hmm. And then they worked on Lair, early PS3 title, which was a dragon game where you use the six axis to flap the dragon's wings.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like you didn't use the analog sticks. It was all motion controls. Beautiful looking graphics. And then it came out.
And it was terrible. I mean, it's interesting because I wonder if they volunteered for that project. They're like, oh, man, like, you guys need somebody to do the killer app for the six axis? That's us. This is, you know, our chance.
They had that, and it was, but they had that killer app because I remember at E3, they weren't even showing off this. They were showing off Warhawk.
Right.
The Warhawk was, like, the killer app for flying with a six axis.
And then Lair came out, and they were like, shit, we can't release Warhawk with this kind of control.
Yeah, they left it in as an optional thing, But yeah, Lair's controls were so broken that they eventually had to release a patch, not like an update, a patch to add in analog stick control.
Right.
I remember early in the PS3's lifespan, it was before they had remote play working with the PSP, and they eventually added remote play, and you could play Lair with the PSP, but it was before they had the analog stick controls on the console version.
Uh-huh.
On the PSP, it worked with analog stick controls. So I remember people being like, the best way to play Lair is through your PSP on remote play.
Wow. That's surprising.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, the first negative reviews were hitting the web, and all the Sony fanboys were like, you're an Xbox, you paid off by Microsoft.
And then they played it.
Yeah.
And it was...
I've never played this game. Have any of you actually played this game?
I played it at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And the controls just weren't accurate enough to do the things it wanted you to do.
I see.
Like, there'd be levels where it's like, swoop down and grab someone. And it was like, I guess I'm not shaking the controller right.
This is a personal problem. Not
both this game and Haze failed so bad they killed developers or almost killed developers.
Yeah, Haze isn't on this list, but you could literally exchange Lair for Haze, though they had totally different problems. Lair's problem was that it was essentially broken by Sony.
Uh-huh.
It was Sony. That was early in the PlayStation's lifestyle, and as in the case with any generation, the publisher... / console maker is like, this should show off what our system can do that the other ones can't, which in this case was motion control.
And as it would turn out, their system was the worst motion control.
Yes. And the problem with Haze was that it just wasn't a very good game. It was essentially a busted game.
It was ambitious. They were ambitious in their scope.
It was Nectar, I believe.
Yeah.
I reviewed Haze, and when I reviewed Haze, I compared it to BioShock in that it had some concepts that, like BioShock, that used your knowledge of gaming against you to great effect, but that was the only thing it did well. Essentially what happened was that Nectar, when you start the game up, you run around killing enemy soldiers and their bodies disappear and there's no blood. And I remember being like, this is PS2 bullshit. Like, this isn't current gen And like it was just, it was super gung-ho military shooter, sort of like, and then it flipped it sort of like Spec Ops did, where then the your nectar starts running out and you just see corpses everywhere. And it turns out that the nectar, besides just giving you enhanced senses, dulls you to the horrors of war. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it made you think it was a shittier game than it was to flip that on you. Problem was, it was still also not a very good game.
Right. Yeah, all I remember about Haze is that quote from Jonathan Davis in the press release. Jonathan Davis of Korn fame.
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
It was so funny. I actually pulled it up just now, if you'd like.
Okay.
Gaming for me is a religion, and Haze is the shit. I had to come up with a track that can hit up that kind of rush I get from the game, and I think we really rocked it.
Really the song was literally him shitting into a bucket.
Pretty much.
And safe to say, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Just totally. Nailed it.
I remember that back when I was...
I like how we're talking about Haze instead of Layering.
Because they're essentially the same game
when
it comes to ambitious PS3 flops.
I remember back when I was a normal, like you listeners out there.
Normal?
I remember being introduced to that quote on the Giant... not Giant Bomb, the Hotspot.
That was the Hotspot.
Yeah.
I was on that podcast, I think.
That very episode?
That very episode.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I was there. I was there.
You lived it.
And here we are now.
We are now.
Comes full circle.
Continuing to hold on to that moment of glory.
Number six, Advent Rising. Another game as a last generation, when I didn't like the Xbox, this was a victory for me as well, because all my friends were like, nah, man, JRPGs are going to come to the Xbox. It's where it's going to be this generation. Ignore all the stuff on the PS2. So, Majesco, right?
Yep, Majesco.
So, Majesco...
So, Advent Rising and Psychonauts basically came out at the same time, and in so doing, just destroyed Majesco.
Like, one of those is acceptable, the
reason
other
why,
is not.
Well, no, both sold terribly. And what happened was, Majesco put all their eggs in that basket, and then those two games came out, they made zero money, and Majesco was like, F this noise, we're going to make pony games now. And now Majesco is very successful... making pony games.
The funny thing is, you have to imagine that there's like one guy who worked on like Psychonauts.
Yeah.
Like didn't work at he worked at Psychonauts or worked on Advent Rising. He's like a hardcore gamer guy who is now like art lead on Cooking Mama.
Uh-huh.
Like just the one, because like, I mean I know there's like change developers, but anytime you've been at a job at a company that's been around, there's always the one guy that's been there forever. Mm. There's that one guy who's like super into gaming, and he's just like, yeah, now I'm in charge of the pony license.
It's cool because I'm in charge.
Yeah, I mean I don't get to do the hardcore quote unquote gaming, but do you know how much bigger an audience there is for pony games?
I think we're doing a lot of special things here.
It's easy to write them off as just like shovelware for kids, but if you really look at what we're doing, like really look from a gameplay perspective, the stuff we're doing hasn't been done before.
And the same amount of work that goes into it. I mean, it's a lot of organizing, getting people on.
I know
the
people don't say these are AAA, but they are AAA.
Right.
Shizzing all over this non-existent person.
I think there's better than a non-existent person than an existent person.
Yes.
Because existent, you know.
Didn't they also have in Advent Rising, wasn't there a contest to like give away $1 million or something? Like you'd find secrets in the game and you could win $1 million?
I don't. Who actually developed it? Do we know?
Wait a minute. Wasn't it the People Can Fly or Chair? Wasn't it Chair?
Was it?
I thought that was why they
Glyph X Games.
What else did they make? So it was a JRPG. It was trying to be a big RPG. It was essentially
Demiurge also did.
Realistically, it was supposed to be Mass Effect.
Right.
Like this was hyped as what Mass Effect turned out being. It was going to be like a 6-game arc. It was going to be this crazy action RPG. And when it came down to it, the problem with it was that the game wasn't finished at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just
But Majesco's like, ship. You ship now.
Yeah, like, Lair was unplayable because of controls, but there was a game underneath that could have been successful. Advent Rising was a broken, like, dead-on-delivery game.
So, apparently, the people who made Advent Rising usually just do cinematics for other games.
Oh.
Which also ties into an entry later in the list, something very similar. In other words, don't let cinematic leads... be project leads on your game.
Yes. Mm,
number five on the list is Fuel, which I remember being super excited for.
I remember that one.
So Fuel was, they were like, we're going to make the biggest open world racing game ever.
Mm.
And a big thing about it was weather. I remember that was the one that was like, you'll just be driving around and like doing a race in the open world and bam, hurricane, like not hurricane, tornadoes or fire. Like, random things. And essentially, the plot is, like, they're out of fuel in the future. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the game is all about racing.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Where you race around, and your reward is fuel.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Hence the name.
So, it's almost as if it would have been better to not be racing around.
Maybe run it. Maybe, like, foot races.
Well, I mean,
and then you get fuel.
Right.
To feed, to
feed
power,
your family.
To power your generator to get to put lights on.
But no, you know, like... I almost made a really bad joke. I stopped myself.
Good.
I love everyone in the United States, including the people in the South.
But yeah, the game, I remember it just, and it wasn't even like, not unlike Advent Rising, it wasn't broken. It just wasn't very fun. The worlds were huge and empty. And
that is the worst possible combo.
Yeah, and there are other games that have succeeded in large, empty worlds. Like Shadow of the Colossus's world is mostly empty, but they use that intentionally to ramp up the feeling of a desolate world. But in a racing game where there's nothing to do but to drive around...
Remember in the original Mass Effect where, like, instead of scanning planets, you had to go down to the planet and drive around in that crummy little Mako or something?
Mako, yeah.
That was all squirrely and shit, and it was just like a giant world looking for, like, some deposit of ore or something.
When I was actually reviewing the original Mass Effect, there was a point where I stopped playing about halfway through because of a Mako mission, and I think I, like, texted somebody I worked with, and I'm like, hey, so Mass Effect fucking sucks. And I'm like, this game is garbage, and it's the worst thing ever. And it was just pure rage because of that. And then I got past that level. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah. No, the last 30 minutes of Mass Effect is brilliant. Brilliant game.
Yes.
Most of what leads up to that is kind of meh.
Yeah. For its time, it was pretty good. Unlike Fuel, which was a gigantic open world clusterfuck of a racing game.
Yeah.
Number four. Daikatana.
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 Katana.
John Romero is going to make you.
So who remembers
snitch.
Who remembers this game?
I remember the ads.
Didn't
I never touched it. I've met John Romero now about three times.
So John Romero, legendary game developer.
Mm-hmm.
Is he legendary? Can we give him legendary status? He was the designer on Doom.
So what's a better word?
Land Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
So him and Carmack.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like
spokesman?
Carmack is a legendary figure,
personality, well-known personality.
I don't know. Like I feel like Daikatana ruined John Romero's reputation.
But yeah. He was going to make you his bitch,
and he didn't.
See, I think what happened was, you know, Romero was better, much better at giving interviews and being the face of
the pitch
man. Yeah, the pitch man, and so. People
with his beautiful, luxurious hair.
Back then, John Carmack was basically a robot. Like, he's got issues now. He's clearly had some media training.
I've interviewed him.
Yeah.
He's still, like...
He's still a robot.
You can ask him... I asked him a basic question. I'm just like, so... He was showing off the... what's that virtual reality thing?
Oculus Rift.
He was showing the Oculus Rift, and I was using it. I'm like, this is really cool. I'm like, so... What do you think are going to be the challenges people are going to run into porting other games onto the Rift? And he's just like... Yeah, well, I guess they could use this one codec if they wrote it in Linux. And he just starts thinking out loud, troubleshooting problem. And I'm like, your answer could be licensing or
he's debugging your idea.
He's debugging my idea, and I'm like, do you realize that I write for Games Radar? And that
we're basically a shit show. No idea what you're saying.
Can you give me the top seven
problem
people may run into? But I mean, we're writing for Games Radar, not Max PC.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, we're not writing like our audience, and by our audience, I mean anyone who works here either has no idea about the codecs you're complaining about. And then, and plus, the Rift was, like, made of fucking duct tape back then. But, yeah, but either way, back then, he was even more robotic, and Romero was a superstar.
Right. Mm.
And he left id to start his own thing.
Ion Storm.
Ion Storm for it to make Daikatana, but...
So what was Daikatana supposed to be?
It's supposed to be the ultimate first-person shooter that would blow your mind out your ass.
It was supposed to
that
be,
that was
like,
actually on a promotional poster.
Yeah. Futuristic first-person samurai,
and what was it instead?
Hideous.
Like, interestingly enough, like Daikatana came out the same year as Deus Ex. Also, yeah. Ion Storm.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the reason. Like, you know how there's lots of times where, like, a company just, like, overextends and releases one, either like two shitty games or one amazing game and one conceptually amazing game that sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was like that.
could be. But well, I mean, it's the difference between John Romero and Warren Spector. John Romero was on Daikatana. Warren Spector, Deus Ex.
Yeah, but what's going on with Warren Spector now?
He pulled a John Romero.
But yeah, the last time I saw John Romero, now he's working on Social Games, which shows you where he's at. But right.
Making money hand over fist.
Maybe so.
And abandoning the people who made him popular in favor of a mansion made out of gold bricks.
Well, I still think he can probably show up to like a pitch meeting like, John Romero, guys, come on.
So, I'm John Romero. I've already made you my bitch once.
He should have bought something of THQ's. And made a social game out of it.
I doubt he's that rich. I,
no I don't mean him. I mean...
But yeah, he's still got his very long hair. Streaks of gray in it now, you know. But
that's fine. He's starting to look distinguished.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Distinguished with very... Yeah, his ponytail. Very distinguished.
Very distinguished.
Like an old like samurai. Distinguished.
Yeah, I guess,
I would think like a Spaniard in... Princess Bride? He's like Diego Montoya.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Okay. Number three, War Devil.
I don't even
so,
know.
I don't know much about War Devil, but I'm going to when we talk about War Devil, imagine any time somebody has sent you a YouTube clip that was like, "Holy shit, look at how good these graphics are," and you've looked at them for a game, and then you never saw that game again.
And you're like, "Nah, that can't be real."
That game is War Devil. Like, there was one for this Project Offset, I think, was one where it was like NVIDIA hired a bunch of like got a bunch of their like graphics guys to be like, "Make a game." And they, like, spent, like, 6 months making a tech demo that looked better than anything else. And then they're like, oh, fuck, you know what we don't know how to do? Make video games.
Right.
And then the game never comes out. So that's happened this generation with Project Offset. And last generation, it was War Devil, where it was a bunch of graphics guys, got together, made a game that, like, it looks sort of like Infinity Blade, except last gen, which is pretty impressive. And then it vanished.
Right.
This has happened every generation. It'll happen next generation, too.
I mean, so hats off then to Crytek, because Crysis was that way.
Crysis was
that game where it's like, there's no way this is coming out, and it came out.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You needed like six computers glued together to play it.
Granted.
I like how people are still benchmarking games by Crysis 1.
Yeah.
Mainly because the game was super poorly optimized.
Right.
Like, Crysis 2 looks better than Crysis 1. But it runs on, it takes less because they just, I think it was almost like, we should probably just as an experiment, let's not let this run on shitty computers or good computers.
No, it was funny because I can't remember, I think it was, Shavat Yearly, is that the head of Crytek? Talking at some, I think it was GDC, and he was talking about how they debuted Crysis at E3. And they literally could not deviate at all from where, like, the camera was looking or the game would crash. So they just barely got that to be running.
Well, we were joking. Like, when they showed Bioshock Infinite off, like, it was technically playable at E3 last year or 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And by playable, they'd literally let the EICs only of publications come over. They'd hand you the controller and they'd go, like, walk around. And you'd walk around and they'd be like, oh, that's enough. And they'd take the controller from you. They're like, see, it's totally running live. All the stuff we showed off, it's not scripted. Here, push the X button. No, not the square button. Stop it. Yeah, it's running great.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Be sure to vote for this for best game of E3.
Yeah, it'll be out within 3 months. So yeah, that's War Devil. Number two, a game.
That's War Devil.
A game that personally dislike strongly.
Yeah.
Shenmue.
And have not been afraid.
That's so unusual that this game has such a polarized reaction.
So I bought a Dreamcast for Shenmue.
Yeah.
Years after the Dreamcast had died, I went to GameStop and was like, used Dreamcast? Sure. I bought it, Sonic Adventure, and Shenmue.
Yeah.
And went home and I'm just like, I bought it like years after the Dreamcast came out and died, Shenmue was still the best looking game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looked crazy good. And I was like, the second, I think it had two discs or like had some kind of.
At least two.
Had two discs, and one of the discs just had, like, a character model viewer, and I remember being, like, before I even played, being, like, looking at the character models and being like, oh, I'm so ready for this game. And then you started playing it, and, so...
All right, well,
you pet kitties.
Especially to play...
And you play with Sega toys.
Especially to play it in a post-GTA 3 world, like, it is really bad. Like, the Shenmue was... is like the idea of what could be GTA 3, but just then Rockstar took that and was like, no, let's make it fun. Like, let's make this something people would enjoy playing. But as someone who was, you know, my brother got my little brother bought the Dreamcast on
9999.
And
that was successful in that. I'll never forget the date of that release date.
And Shenmue was what we were all waiting for, and it was like a $1 billion game. Like they say, it cost Sega. Like it's why Sega's fucked still. It's because it started with Shenmue. And like once it finally came out, we all tricked ourselves in thinking, oh, this is great. Like you get to walk around. It's a day. You have to meet some. If you say you're meeting someone at 4, you better be there at 4. You're going to miss it.
4:05. They're
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
Sure, it takes you 25 minutes to walk like 3 feet, but.
Yes. And you have to, if you want a phone number, you have to get to the yellow pages and find that phone number in the yellow pages.
The thing was, it was a simulation in like a handful of things, like the things you listed. And then other things, it was just kind of like, yeah, this is a video game. I remember playing it and I had a friend who loved it. And I kept asking him, like, yo, when does it get good? And he'd be like, where are you now? And I'd tell him. He'd be like, real soon. And then, like, 6 hours later, I'd be like, so I'm driving. I'm like, operating a forklift or something? Yep. When does it get good? He's like, dude, you got fucking forklifts. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, really?
We're not friends anymore.
Yeah, we're done. I actually am not friends with him anymore. And I think it may have been around then. I barely remember his name. I think it was Chris.
Well, yeah, you start the game with your father is murdered by a kung fu master, an evil kung fu master, and then you swear revenge, and then you take 3 steps out of your house, and the little boy's like, I found this kitten. Would you want to name him? Play with him. Like, oh, okay, pet, pet, pet. And then you take a few more steps, like, gotta solve my father's murder. No, I'll just buy these toys. And then you buy
I'll buy
toys.
These Sega-branded toys and look at them in third person, slowly, tilting my hand left and right.
I'll play Space Harrier. No.
I'll buy a soda, and the character will literally stand there drinking a soda for 30 seconds.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was essentially Grand Theft Auto without the fun, meets The Sims without the actual life building, meets the social interactions of a Persona game without anything coming to fruition, meets the odd jobs you get in No More Heroes, like to pick up coconuts or whatever the fuck they want you to do, without the murder in between.
So they said
it's the worst part of every game.
They said it was going to be like they also made the mistake that a couple games on this list did, where they said this is part one of a long storyline, guys, and it was technically part one of 6. And then when they were able to make Shenmue 2. Like they said, well, this is technically chapters 2 through 4. Like, oh, you guys have already have given up. Like,
rightfully so.
The pacing is horrendous in that thing.
It's so many discs, and there's nothing to do.
It's so ambitious, though. I give it credit for that. Yeah.
It was ambitious, but you know what?
It flopped. Yes.
Number one on this list, the game that sort of defines the idea of an ambitious flop, Duke Nukem Forever.
I've beaten this game.
Was it even ambitious?
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Duke Nukem 3D, back in the day, was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then they were so ready to repeat that success.
Right.
That they just kept trying to perfect it.
They got paralyzed by perfection.
Yeah, and then they missed console generation after console generation.
So I personally think that this is a personal thing, so don't no libel lawsuits.
Oh, right.
I personally 100% believe that the entire time that this game was in development until it was purchased by Gearbox, that it was essentially like a Ponzi scheme. Like there was no game being developed.
I don't know if
they
that
were
actually
funneling
works.
Money.
I don't think you can say now. Don't sue me for libel for this, but
I'm saying personally, I believe that it was a scam.
George Broussard was scamming everyone.
I think he was. Personally, I think he probably wasn't.
I read right after 3D Realms closed and before Gearbox bought it, there was a really good Wired article where they talked about how they were so close to like they could have shipped the game within a year when they showed it like 2 times, but then Broussard or some other executive there, most likely Broussard, saw the newest Quake engine or the newest other thing. And especially if id had a better looking game than Duke, he'd be like, no, fuck that. We're not worse looking than an id game. Start over. Like, and that happened at least twice. And
what a
sad.
Fool. He paid
it's
the price.
Sad. And then I would say that Gearbox was ambitious in thinking they could sell Duke Nukem Forever to people, like that it could work.
Yeah, well, I feel like they just wanted the Duke license, and they knew that they couldn't release a Duke game until Duke Nukem Forever came.
I'm just wondering if they think ever that like Duke Nukem Forever would be so bad that it would kill any enthusiasm for the brand name. Because that's sort of what happened.
I'm not totally sure it killed all enthusiasm.
It didn't kill all, but it killed a lot.
There could be a Duke reboot.
I feel like Randy Pitchford was a little compromised when it comes to this. Because he worked at 3D Realms. I think he worked on the original
3D
franchise. Mm-hmm. And so I think he just was like, you know what? I'm hot shit now. I'm just going to release this because I can.
I'm tired of the jokes.
I'm tired of it. Like,
we
this
made
is
Borderlands.
A franchise
we can
that's
do
near
no wrong.
Near to me. I'm just going to put it out there so it's no longer a joke. I don't care if it's a bad game, but we just got to get past this and then we can move on.
So what do we make fun of now? Because I think Blizzard still hasn't officially canceled StarCraft Ghost.
Yes, they have.
I read that they technically say that it's essentially on hold indefinitely.
I don't think that's.
I mean, Half-Life Episode 3 is the default.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, I guess that works.
When that comes out, though, what will we have left? I don't think so.
War Devil.
No, I was going to say Versus 13.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. Or The Last Guardian.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Or Prey 2. Or there's a lot of current gen games.
Prey 2 looks so cool.
Prey 2 doesn't exist anymore. That was never a game. You don't even say it looks cool. Like, that was never.
They showed it off.
I hated the original Prey.
Prey 2 was a trick.
The original Prey just was so sickening. Like, in terms of.
Are you talking about the doors? Or, okay.
No,
just
the
like
ceilings,
walking up the ceiling along the wall.
The multiplayer was like 10 times worse because you'd be trying to aim at people running on the ceiling.
It was essentially like they discovered that they could do what Portal did before Portal did it and had no idea how to implement it.
Yeah.
And they just went with their first idea, which was Native American cursing a lot.
And that was made by 3D Realm. Well, not made by 3D Realm, but published. Might as well.
I did like the ghost walking, just saying.
You would
cool.
say that.
I'm sorry.
You would totally say that. It's okay. I'm not saying you should apologize, but it's such a Lucas thing to say. So we're going to take a break and come back with more news than we know what to do with. So stay tuned. And we're back. Like I said, crazy news week. We expected it to be a mildly crazy news week because there were rumors that the THQ, or it was pretty much known that the THQ auction was happening. But there was a coup, and there were actually two major news stories. But let's start with the depressing one.
Yeah.
So THQ is
bad
dead.
Bad news first.
THQ is 100% dead.
Is it depressing?
Yes.
Because now all of these properties, all these studios have new life.
Not all.
Well, I mean,
and it's also
a large
and it's questionable. I mean, lots of people were laid off, so it is depressing.
Yeah.
I feel bad for THQ that they were so close. They were right about to turn the corner.
No,
they have been
to turn the corner for the last 5-6 years. Like,
and they were almost there.
They've clearly been on the outs for a very long time.
I wonder if it was a smart idea when THQ was like they abandoned all of the kids' licenses they were developing for. It's like, I wonder if that was like where some of their money was coming from.
I mean, their margins weren't very high on those licenses, which is why they did that. But
But then their new stuff just didn't. Well, when they bet all their money on, like, I guess it really started with Homefront and then UDraw. Like,
UDraw apparently tanked them. Like, UDraw is completely responsible for why they're closed now instead of 2 years from now. Like, why they didn't make it into the next gen, which could have been, Homefront 2, never mind, better example, Saints Row the 4th came out as a next gen launch title and made them millions of dollars. They could have lasted the next gen.
Yeah.
But UDraw, apparently, like, UDraw for the Wii did okay.
No, it did pretty well.
It did pretty well. And then instead of being like, okay, that did well, let's use this money wisely, they quadrupled down on UDraw. And it sold nothing on other systems.
It's kind of a case where they didn't really notice what was going on in the landscape of peripherals and how they, like, they could have so easily just looked at Guitar Hero and the entire rhythm game genre with UDraw and known that the peripheral thing was going, it was a bubble, and that bubble had already popped.
Like they got lucky with UDraw because it was at the tail end of that bubble.
Right. It just didn't work. And the other thing with UDraw is, like, they had some really quality ideas, but they didn't execute on them very well. Like, they had that Marvel game that was, you could draw, like, the comic book.
Sure.
But the product they released was, like, a tracing sim instead of, like, being able to really interact with, like, a Marvel
And what made it worse is the buzz around U-Draw for Xbox 360 and PS3 was really bad because I played it. I think I own it.
Oh.
The tablet is horrible.
Oh.
Like, Pictionary should be the easiest thing to do on it.
Yeah.
But the tablet is so hard to draw with that it's actually, like, I'm tempted to just, like, we should just go play regular Pictionary because this tablet is, it's multi-touch. So if your hand mistakenly touches the tablet while you're using the pen, it freaks out. The pen's super inaccurate. Like, they obviously wanted it to explode in popularity, but they didn't want to spend a lot of money on the tablet, so it just totally fell apart.
Well, and another mistake they made was they thought they can get into the MMO business. Like, oh, we can make a Warhammer MMO. Let's do it when MMOs, paid MMOs, are dying. Like,
yeah.
Or just dead.
They were just too late on everything. And, I mean, you could also look at the fact that they almost as like a cautionary tale for the rest of the development, the rest of game development, is it was proven that you can't make a AAA game by advertising a B-level game like a AAA game. Mm-hmm. They tried that with Homefront. They spent more money advertising Homefront than they probably spent on Homefront.
God, you remember when they had that ridiculous promotion where they released like 100,000 balloons over the bay?
Yeah.
And like...
I heard about that.
Shit out of the water.
What is the environmental EPA was just like, holy shit, guys, this is
this is the worst thing you could have done.
This is an enviro apocalypse.
though also at that same time, I remember at GDC they were giving away free Korean tacos as part of their they're good with the bad.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't even the fact that it was all bad. It was just in terms of like they spent millions and millions of dollars advertising a bad game, pretending it was going to be the next Call of Duty. But then when people got the game, bad word of mouth tanked it.
Looked ugly. Was not particularly innovative.
It was
it had a clever hook, but
a series of unfortunate events led to that company being gone.
Chaos,
and they had a private auction where they pieced apart the company. And so here are the Some of them landed well. Volition and Saints Row and Metro didn't land very well. They landed okay because Koch Media is tripping over money. Apparently they're like the CBS or NBC of the UK. They're essentially they're like the media or like the Fox. Mm-hmm. They own the UK media and also have a gaming arm.
Right. They have Deep Silver, which made Dead Island.
Yes.
So they have a little bit of experience in this realm. I mean, they're not.
They tried to be a big time publisher this gen and fell short. But near the end of the generation, they started to
figure it out a little bit.
And now it feels like they're going to try to go into next gen as a name, as an Ubisoft, or as, a THQ.
Yeah, like a THQ. But, I mean, there is a lot of uncertainty because it's not easy, being a big global publisher.
They've
so.
Sent out press releases already being like, we're moving ahead with Saints Row. Like, they sound excited to do Saints Row.
And at least they're diversifying. Like, they're not just a game company. So, I'm just glad the Volition got to stay together. Like, they're one of my favorite developers. Saints Row the Third was balls to the wall, awesome.
Yeah,
like, and Red Faction is awesome.
Red Faction is awesome.
Guerrilla
was
really
awesome, and Armageddon wasn't awful. It just wasn't great.
But, it just had that THQ taint.
Yeah.
Well, you could tell they weren't. It wasn't even their like B level effort. They're just like, we got to get this.
Yeah.
So well, I mean, that was one of the problems that I think THQ entered into that situation because it was like they went all out with the transmedia push. There was that Sci-Fi Channel with the last Red Faction.
It was okay.
You completely overcomplicated what should have been, a very good game.
That show was the miniseries that they did for Red Faction Armageddon, probably better than the game.
Really?
Yeah, I liked the game. It was a cool hook. But then the game failed, so there was no reason to keep up the TV show.
It's true.
So yeah, Volition, Saints Row, and Metro all land with Koch Media. Volition and Saints Row sold for $22.3 million. That's impressive. And Metro for 5.8, which is almost more impressive because the first Metro didn't do that well.
Yeah. I mean, I can easily see the Saints Row the Fourth making $22 million in profit for them.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Depending on, I mean, I'm wondering if they're going to call it Saints Row 4 or the Fourth or almost treat it as a reboot for next gen. May not be the worst idea because no one really cared about Saints Row 1. Like, 3 was big.
Yeah.
But maybe it's time to just.
I think Saints Row has gotten a bit of a brand name to it.
Yeah. So. I mean, they could do like Saints Row. Whatever
the
name
in the saddle.
Yeah, like something like not with a number. I feel like almost like a soft reboot.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, Saints Row the Third was almost a reboot,
right,
essentially.
If you're looking at it from the perspective of the Saints Row has kind of been this shadow Grand Theft Auto. So GTA 3 was basically Saints Row 1, and GTA then went with Vice City and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just
whether they go,
speculating.
Whether they continue to mimic GTA would be humorous.
Yes.
If they do, you know, Saints Row 4.
And Metro still may come out this year. There's still... No one knows. I'd say the best landing is Dawn of War developer Relic.
Oh God!
For $26 million to Sega.
So happy.
I didn't know Sega had that much
Sega?
Money.
So, where the fuck? Like, oh, pachinko machine.
Pachinko,
oh,
yeah. the Sammy part. Yeah. They married
Sega.
Well.
Sega is doubling down on PC and mainly free to play.
Totally married well. No, so Sega owns the Creative Assembly, better known as the owners of the Warhammer license. So,
even better known for most people as the team of Total War.
Total War, yeah.
That's where
obviously.
Yeah, and so now the team that made Total War owns Warhammer and also works with the team that made Dawn of War.
Right, which is also.
And Space Marine.
Right. So that's exciting.
Sega is now a Warhammer company. Like,
yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I never thought I'd say, like, Sega is one of, like, the biggest PC developers now.
But they really are.
It's really
they're doubling down
weird.
On PC, and I think it's a good move because
market.
Though PC piracy is out of control, if you make your focus online and you work in some free-to-play elements, you kind of you could take the piracy because you lose the rental
right.
and the used game market.
Or, I mean, if you have a secure server and you kind of always online persistent.
Yeah, there's ways that you can make that work. And at this point, RTSs are such a dying art that people will just accept them.
Yeah.
THQ Montreal, which was a studio that was essentially assembled to make new IPs from ex-Ubisoft developers.
So, yeah, the lead producer, I think it was the lead producer, or the game director on the original Assassin's Creed 3.
And 2,
Delsant.
I think.
Yeah, it was creative director of just Assassin's Creed. He left after 2.
Right,
yeah.
Right. He left to go to THQ Montreal, took a bunch of people with them. Ubisoft promptly sued THQ over this guy because he didn't honor his non-compete clause. But now they're like, oh, well, fuck it. Come back. We like you.
Yeah. $2.5 million. They now own THQ Montreal and their new IPs.
South Park Stick of Truth as well.
They also bought South Park for the Stick of Truth for
$3.2
million.
Are you happy about that?
I'm super happy about that. Though apparently it's still not... That one's not finalized because South Park Studios is still fighting them about that. It's like, you can't sell this. We still have a claim in it. Though I bet you that Ubisoft will just come to them and be like, we'll still get it out. Like, they'll give them a date for the release. I don't know. It's supposed to come out in March. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
If any publisher out there can...
Mobilize
and publish a game. I'd say it's like Ubisoft and like I don't think Activision even would, but I feel like maybe EA. Like there's only a few publishers that could actually hit the ground running with this one. Ubisoft's one of them, and you know they want to get it out before the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's sad to me about weird to me about THQ Montreal is that they existed for over 2 years, never showed a game, and like before they even show their game, they're purchased by Ubisoft. Like,
well, no, I'm sure that they were showing some kind of demo behind closed doors.
Oh yeah, I mean a game exists. I'm just saying.
I think are there two games?
Yeah, there's 1666 and Underdog. Those are the codes.
And the rumors I read is like Ubisoft hasn't commented on whether or not they're even going to keep them on that. They may just be like, hey, guess what, guys? You're making Assassin's Creed now. here's a half-made Assassin's Creed. You guys should finish it.
Well, quit again, and we'll bury you.
They need Patrice to fix Assassin's Creed, man.
I remember somebody joking, in Patrice's inbox, there's an email like, hello from Ubisoft, and he's deciding whether or not to read that email or burn the building down. Like, he's just sitting at his computer kind of like looking around the room, just trying to decide, because they didn't leave on great terms.
Last time he saw Ubisoft was in a courtroom.
So. Yeah.
Getting his ass sued off.
And Turtle Rock, who made Left 4 Dead, and though Valve published Left 4 Dead and made Left 4 Dead 2, Turtle Rock was making Left 4 Dead before Valve bought them. They were in, like, that was a game they were making.
I always forget that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were making Left 4 Dead. It was on the Source engine because I feel like if you make a Source game, there's like a 30% chance you're just going to be bought by Valve.
Right.
So they were making it. And
Gabe's just like, oh, wants it.
Yeah. So it's essentially your reward for making a game on Source.
Right.
Valve bought the rights to finish the game and buy the rights, and then they left. So, like, everything you like about Left 4 Dead, you can thank Turtle Rock, not Valve. Though Valve was responsible for a lot of it, obviously. Turtle Rock was making a game called Project Evolve, which Take-Two put $11 million down for, which that's pretty ridiculous if you think about if you think about the fact that South Park Stick of Truth is essentially finished. That game's supposed to come out in 2 months, and that only got sold for $3.2 million.
In fairness, Take-Two is not the best with money.
Well, Ubisoft...
In fairness, they know they have Grand Theft Auto coming up, so they really don't give a fuck.
they're definitely
well,
in...
Maybe they get to own the IP season. With Evolve, while meanwhile with South Park, Ubisoft's going to split the money with South Park.
Another
but, I mean,
license...
the THQ Montreal people, they're $2.5 million. And that's like they have proven, you know, that they can make them.
And another I didn't actually write it down on here, but apparently the minimum bid was $500,000.
Yeah.
And for $500,000, Crytek now owns Homefront.
Oh.
Which
Crytek was already working on Homefront 2.
Yeah, I think now they're just they own that license. They can ship it around. They could rebrand it if they want and send it to EA, or they could self-publish it as a free-to-play game because they're doing that with some stuff now.
I mean, that was definitely a, decision.
It's like we don't want to lose. Like, it probably saved them money.
Right. They're like, man.
Otherwise, they can't publish it if they don't own it. They just lose all that work. Oh, one rumor I remember reading that is Take-Two apparently also might own the WWE license now, too, but... that one can't be confirmed yet because WWE has to like give a thumbs up.
Yeah, EA has just flat out said no. Right. They're like, we're not in the wrestling game business. And if you think about it, WWE has said they're in talks with a major sports developer to make it. Activision doesn't really make sports games. 2K has 2K Sports. They have a huge sports brand.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they'd pick that up. And their sports brand's already in the yearly, like they're already in that
Although,
business.
Yeah, in fairness, like the hornet's nest that is the WWE Enterprise Ukes and the troublesome THQ. It was just a menage a trois that was built on hate and loathing.
Yes. And
now Take-Two is stepping in.
Yeah.
Sloppy seconds for THQ.
I mean, EA already picked up, if you look at the things that THQ sold over the last few years, EA already picked up MMA or UFC.
Yeah.
In what I think was like one of the most surprising things last year at E3, if you know anything about that side
Huge
of the industry.
Shock. Yeah.
If you know the fact that Dana White at one point pretty much had an entire press release just to like piss on EA and say how much they suck.
And here he is on stage with John Riccitiello.
Yeah. So the companies that were but that's the stuff that was sold. Plenty of stuff was not. No one bought Vigil, and Vigil is essentially gone now.
Yeah,
Vigil, who made Darksiders, which was one of our favorite games of the year, gone.
Didn't think Darksiders was all that great, but you're wrong. Man.
I didn't love it, but I just got that's just because I didn't have 20 hours. It was literally like I'm not going to give myself to this game because I don't have time for it.
The writing was on the wall about Vigil to me when Joe Madureira, who started the company with them and did all the art for the Darksiders games, like a month after Darksiders 2 shipped, gone. Left the company. He's like, I want to draw comic books again. See you later. This doesn't mean Vigil's in trouble.
But that said, so they didn't get bought. Some companies have already, Darksiders may still get picked up.
Someone will buy Darksiders.
Platinum has randomly expressed interest. Almost like sweet. It started as like a joke, but apparently it's moved forward to a somewhat official thing.
I can see that. I mean, they have an aesthetic that goes for the crazy, and Darksiders has a very interesting artist.
So what I kind of think might happen is let's say Platinum is like, yeah, we do want to do this. Nintendo or someone saying like, fuck it, what like $250,000 for Darksiders? Sure,
seems
they
reasonable.
Buy it. Like somebody, a publisher may buy it. And then have Platinum develop it, which is what essentially has been – Platinum's essentially doing that with Revengeance. Is it's like somebody's like, hey, can you guys just do this for us?
Yeah, it's true.
And Nintendo and Platinum are essentially always in bed together now. Like at any given time, one Platinum employee is spooning.
Right.
That's right.
It's spooning Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yes.
Usually, yeah.
I think Platinum could use help with like platforming level design too. So they could learn a thing or two from
I just like the idea of Mario – like, if he were a real person walking around with $250,000 in his...
In coins?
Backpack. Yeah. Just like a wallet, and you'd like, whip it out, and be like, you know... Okay.
You know,
$250 for the Darksiders.
Well, someone else pointed out that Vigil...
Was that...
That was good.
Was that Mario?
That was great.
Vigil's based in Austin, as is Retro Studios, so they could just morph them together.
If Microsoft...
A Metroid?
A Metroid.
Oh, I thought you said... Oh, Oh, yes, that makes sense. I thought
Metroid-esque Darksiders. That could be interesting.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Yeah. What the fuck else is Retro doing? What is Retro doing? Isn't the rumor for a while been Star Fox?
That's one of
the
rumors.
Yeah.
They are making a game. They've been hiring...
Their games sell well. Nintendo loves them.
But they haven't done anything since DK Country. Well, like...
They're owned by Nintendo, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Nintendo bought them. And then, like, after Prime 3 came out, like, the top dudes who started the company, at least two of them left. So they were sort of at an identity crisis, and Nintendo just said, make Donkey Kong Country.
I guess they made Mario Kart 7 also.
Oh, they helped. They had to get that out by Christmas, so it was just all hands on deck. Retro, you're free. Make three levels.
Yeah, so the rumors have been going around. They may either be making the next Metroid, or they're making the next Star Fox.
I hope we see it at E3.
But it's
a
been
project
like,
everyone wants us to do, is what they've said.
Really?
It's in Wikipedia.
What else could they be making?
I would want them to
I mean,
Star
I feel
Fox.
Like Star Fox
Donkey
and,
Kong.
And Metroid.
They could be doing a new Donkey Kong platformer, like a 3D platformer. There's,
nobody wants that.
There's,
I want that.
Dude, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong 60. I legitimately want them to call it Donkey Kong 64 2.
63 and
I want Star Fox. That's what I want.
I want Star Fox, too, and Retro could do it.
Well, but speaking of Nintendo.
Yes, Nintendo decided, they're like, how far away is E3? June? Fuck that! Let's get this shit started! And yeah, they
first
had a Nintendo
with Pokemon
Direct.
XY, and now with...
Everything else. Everything
with about else. 11 hours warning.
Yeah, so first big thing coming out of the Nintendo... Well, let's go over a bunch of the small things first that we didn't even write down here. So, Virtual Console in true
Wii U Virtual Console
is coming out.
Meaning you can play it on your gamepad screen.
Yeah, so that's coming out with it like spring.
Yeah.
As well as some changes to load times. Like, they're just going to polish
There's
out the
be
UI.
Spring and summer updates to finally fix the god-awful UI they shipped it with.
God, yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome if just all virtual console games were free?
Oh. Well, yes.
How awesome would
wouldn't
that
be? Wouldn't it be awesome if we didn't need to use money?
I mean...
You know what I'd be happier then? Happier with?
Why are they charging money for... I mean, I know... Like,
licensing is usually... I mean, they didn't make all these games. Well, one of the other things is every month for the next 12 months, virtual console games, specific ones, are going to be 30 cents each. Including, like, some big ones, like Super Metroid.
Yeah. Such a weird price, 30 cents.
Why not 25?
Because it's the 30th anniversary of the
Famicom.
Oh,
okay.
And they're 30 yen in Japan, so actually we're getting an even better deal here being at 30 cents.
Yeah.
So.
So there's that, and there were a bunch of other little things, but the main news, they announced...
It started off so slow, I was like, man, what a dog.
It was literally
I woke
like,
up this early for this.
It was 40 minutes long. The first 30 minutes was shit you didn't care about, and the last 10 minutes was essentially the and one more thing of an Apple press conference, so...
But he did it like five times.
Yeah, so...
You get a card.
New Zelda is in the works. They almost gave some warning. They're like, listen, we know you want the exact same Zelda experience you've had, but be prepared. Franchise tenants like playing alone for the whole game and linear dungeon progression might not be around this time. It's going to be something else. But because we're Nintendo and we spend forever on things, that's still going to be a few years away. But... This year, you'll be able to get Wind Waker HD.
Which is nuts.
Yeah,
so
it's
nuts.
Most people in the office, myself included, and Henry, Wind Waker is the best Zelda game of all time. Or at least the best 3D Zelda, I say, of all time.
Yeah, I was aghast and agog when it...
Yeah, and...
you were a what?
Aghast and agog.
Aghast and agog.
You can look it up if you're confused.
I'm aware. I'm not sure. Agog.
I've heard...
Eyes bulging.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I believe...
Aghast.
You know what? I believe
horrified.
That.
Horrified.
Yeah. So...
Maybe that's not the right words, but...
Okay. just agog. Eyes bulging with excitement. So, yeah, they're redoing the graphics. Which,
yeah.
But not only HD-ing, like, full-on, essentially, remake, not HD
up. It's a remake. Like how Ocarina 3D was a remake, too. Like, it wasn't an HD-ified thing.
Yeah, so it's full-on new graphical style. Still has some of the cel-shaded look. Mm-hmm. It's just not the hard outlines. And it looks beautiful.
And they say fall this year, but Zelda games especially always get delayed.
But it's an HD remake. It really is.
It's still... That Eiji Inuma, the head of the Zelda team in Nintendo, he seems to have the power that no one... Like, even Miyamoto, I don't think, could delay games as often as he's able to. Or he's just like, nah... Another year.
But the thing is, because it's just an HD remake, I don't see them doing that.
I hope not. Well, Nintendo, the this and the other announcements, it almost felt like how desperate, not desperate, but they really had something to prove. Like, people I haven't turned on my Wii U in a month, over a month, and I think they needed to like say, no, you'll have stuff to play on your Wii U, really.
That's, but that's sort of every next-gen system. You buy it, and then you play current-gen games for 3 months.
I'm tired of having Satoru Iwata apologize to me. Like, why does he keep apologizing? He did it with the 3DS. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, that's enough. Like, why are you doing that again? If you were actually sorry, you wouldn't be repeating the same mistakes
as the man. It's a different mistake this time.
It's not. It's the same mistake.
No, the first mistake was the price was too high, and there were no games. The second mistake was, sorry, all of our games came out on launch and now we don't have anything.
Yeah, he did specifically apologize that no games are coming out in January and February.
Like, but March,
stop apologizing.
Yeah.
March is nuts.
If you
is
need
nuts.
To apologize, then you're doing it wrong.
The other things they announced is, at E3, we're going to see Smash Brothers for the first time.
Yes.
They didn't say whether or not it'd be playable, but we will at least be able to see it.
It's going to look like Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
Mario
amazing.
Kart and the new 3D Mario will be playable at E3.
Holy smokes.
For the Wii U.
Very excited.
Do you think Smash Brothers will be better on the Wii U?
I bet you.
We had a conversation for a certain list that we will be updating soon. And you guys were just split over whether 64 was it 64?
No, GameCube,
GameCube version or Wii version was better.
So here's the thing that makes me think that it will continue. That even the people in the office who think that the GameCube one is better, it's more that it's more refined, and that most of them still want to play the Wii one more. But the reason I'm excited is because so everything Nintendo did with the Wii. Even the best games had some level of bullshit waggle, except Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers had no waggle nonsense. It was if you played it with the Wii remote, you turned the remote sideways and played with it like a regular controller. They know that that's a franchise that they don't.
Or you just play with your Wavebird.
Yeah, they don't fuck with that side of it.
So do you think?
Wait, is there?
Do you think the main difference between it will be a new character, new characters?
Probably a more robust level creation with the gamepad because they had some with the Wii version.
I think they'll make it faster because Brawl was like floaty.
Do we have a what we want?
We have a roster.
Yeah, we have a roster we want to see, and
guys,
we have levels we want to see.
Dude, even page views on the table.
Dude, we both know how SEO works. We don't want to double up on that shit.
But Masahiro Sakurai, the director, has made veiled comments about it of just like, he doesn't just want to add 12 new characters and call it a new game.
That's what I want.
That's all I want too. But he says he wants to do something bigger with that. But I don't think, how outside of the box can he get when they've hired Namco to do most of the grunt work? Like, I feel like it's
fair.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think they'll go the one-on-one Capcom only. Street Fighter route where it's like going from, what, 2D to 2D?
No, it's got to be
2D.
No way.
Fixed arenas?
No, I feel like if they did that, they made... No.
No?
No. I was going to say like Street Fighter 4 where it's still 3, but the game's already 3D.
Well, don't forget, this is a game that can be played on 3DS and Wii U. It's meant to be a dual game. So.
Yeah.
That doesn't. Can't wait for that.
Just in that, in terms of the,
I don't know how I feel about that.
In terms of they're going to release it on both, so don't expect any like, you got to use the tilt controls
right.
thing. I honestly, I mean, maybe they'll have characters that take advantage of that. I could see that
or
being a Nintendo
games.
Thing. Mini games. They love their mini games. But
I don't want to speak out of turn, but can you even plug a GameCube controller into
no.
a Wii U?
But there's that.
That is
no.
Before
the 360 controller.
The Pro controller that does work with the Wii U is better than a Wavebird. It's just the Xbox 360 controller.
That
it's the same controller.
I don't know, man. That big A button was really something.
It'll be fine. But
Wavebird is the right way to play Smash Brothers, but it'll be fine.
The Xbox 360 controller, like Henry said, is pretty much the same thing. Oh, also, even bigger announcement. New Yoshi game, which is made by the Kirby's Epic Yarn team, which is literally just Yoshi's Epic Yarn.
They
haven't said it yet, but it looks exactly the same, except the difference is it's a full 3D game.
There's a part of my soul that just doesn't exist. And that part is where Nintendo would reside.
So, realistically, it like, doesn't look as
this
much...
This is a game... Like, this isn't... We're not Crochet Today, guys. I don't know if you know this or not. Like...
But the thing is, so if you look at Kirby's Epic Yarn, that was a 2D platformer where everything was made of yarn. This one almost looks more like Little Big Planet. You have 3D characters in a 3D world, except it's Yoshi's 2D, made of crochet.
I think it is on a 2D plane.
It's still on a 2D plate, but so was...
Yoshi's 64.
Yeah, that's right.
So was...
Well, Yoshi's story is... that's not the one I would imitate. I would want them to more so imitate Yoshi's Island.
But it looks like they're just going to imitate Kirby's Epic Yarn. Kirby's Epic Yarn played like a Yoshi game. Mm-hmm. Kirby had a whip thing that he would grab things with and eat them and then poop them out and throw them. Like, it literally played exactly like a Kirby game. Or like a Yoshi game.
Mm-hmm. Now they're just completing the circle.
Yeah. So that looks... And just graphically, it looks beautiful from what they showed off. It just like Little Big Planet, everything looks like physical things.
It's real.
And Shin Megami Tensei meets Fire Emblem on the Wii U.
That's going to be sweet.
Yeah, very odd. I think we... If this had been an America-only video conference, I don't think I would have been included in this one. But because it was... going live in Japan, America, and the UK all at the same time, they showed the very Japanese-specific announcement. Like, SMT is super huge there. Fire Emblem, like...
SMT, if you don't know, I know that Pokemon is made by Nintendo and Japanese gamers love it. Mm-hmm. SMT is realistically, it is Pokemon for Japan, Japanese people.
But for an M-rated Pokemon.
It's an M-rated Pokemon for Japanese people. Like, Pokemon is really... It's sort of catered for... us idiot Westerners. Shin Megami Tensei, Persona especially, it's essentially Pokemon. Mm. And this is...
I have just decided that... You've been playing Persona 4.
Yeah, I'm 50 hours in.
Yeah.
I'm a psychopath with that game. I can't stop playing it. I'm losing my mind. Are you going to play it?
Yeah, I think I am.
Yes!
I think I'm going to do it.
I'm excited for you to get an hour in and tell me I'm an idiot.
Well, this one seemed aimed directly at me, this announcement. Very excited.
Henry Gilbert, we have a special announcement.
They have
Iwata stared into your, what was the word?
Well, agog.
Your agag eyes.
Why, Iwata's always talking to me when he has those directs, right? I mean,
in Mario's
talking
voice.
To anyone else. Yeah. No, yeah, but it is odd. It's on the Wii U instead because both of those are very portable franchises now. And
yeah, like, it doesn't really make
sense. Because Shin Megami Tensei 4, their next numbered entry in the series, which they haven't done one of those in a decade, it's a 3DS game. And
Nintendo's next Fire Emblem, 3DS game.
And it's already been huge in Japan. I think I know the reason the last Fire Emblem was bigger than ever in Japan. It was because they put in a dating sim in it, which even makes it more like SMT.
Did they really?
The more your the dating part of it is, if you put people of the opposite gender, like you can have characters stand next to each other on the battlefield and they'll give buffs to one another in a fight if they're next to each other. If two of the opposite gender stand next to each other enough times, they fall in love and will have children.
Wow.
And get married.
Do their children
get married
join your
once. No, it doesn't. Damn I don't it. Think it lasts long enough for the babies.
That'd be wonderful. Valkyria Chronicles did some similar stuff. Everyone had traits, and one of the traits was like women could have. There was never an outright homosexuality trait, but there was like there'd be if you're like a soldier, like a male, it would be like prefers men. And I actually, or like a woman that prefers women. I at one point had a total lesbian battalion in Valkyrie. That game was so fucking good. Just the idea that I'm
should
like,
be
I
the
could...
subtitle to the next sequel, Lesbian Battalion.
Oh, they've made so many sequels that haven't come out in America though.
Seems like one of them.
I'm sure it happened. So yeah, for the Wii U. And anything else I'm missing from Nintendo? It was crazy. We just
Xenoblade.
Oh, yeah, Xeno, whatever.
You mean X.
X.
Yeah.
Is all they've called it. It's
Monolith Soft. It's it's not actually, or it's not confirmed to be a Xeno game, but it's a Xeno game.
Yeah, it
may be an MMO.
It looks like Xenoblade Saga, except there are mechs.
Right.
And there's a chat window that had people talking in MMO fashion.
Right.
I mean, no one insulted anybody's mother, but... They did.
Presumably, they were.
They did ask how you were doing that. Like it was very obviously not NPC speak. It said player one, player two, player three.
Right. So those mechs bring it back to its legacy of Xeno Saga, not Xeno Blade
and Xeno Gears, right?
And Xeno Gears to get back into the mechs.
So at a glance, and I hope this isn't the case, it looks like Xeno Blade meets Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And I don't like Monster Hunter, but that's really what it looks like.
It had four players at once. Four list of characters you could play as and a box in it.
A chat box?
Yeah, a talk box.
A talk box.
Haven't you used talk box a few times in this podcast and completely unrelated each time?
Maybe. Yeah, I hope it's not just a... I've said it before, the problem with Japanese games these days is Monster Hunter. Every other Monster Hunter's fine, but every other competitor wants to just make Monster Hunter 2. So you just have Monster Hunter infecting everything with its boring gameplay.
Which is why Lost Planet 2 was so shitty, because they tried to make sci-fi Monster Hunter.
That's why Dragon Quest X is online. It's an MMO now.
Is it ever coming out?
You know,
in America.
If it's going to come out, it'd be the Wii U version. So I think you're going to have to wait for the Wii U version to launch in Japan first before Nintendo even decides they'll bring it to America or not.
Ugh.
I'm more interested if they're going to bring Dragon Quest VII Remake on 3DS to America.
They probably will. They've all sold well.
Well enough.
Yeah. Well enough for a remake. And if you want to find out more about Project X, which might be Xenogears, MMO, who knows, you can check out Ryan Talgenic. Actually did a pretty robust trailer analysis and just like a breakdown of everything we know about that game, and even got Takeshi, one of our video guys, to translate it, since he speaks Japanese.
He does.
He's one of the three people.
In the world.
wow. It's him, Miyamoto, and whatever guy at Platinum was giving him a spoon. They all talk to each other nightly. But yeah, so you can find out a ton about it there. And one other big news story, Resident Evil Revelations, which is probably the best classic Resident Evil in a very long time.
It was the best Resident Evil that came out last year.
Yes. It's coming to consoles and PC as a downloadable.
Woo-hoo!
For like $40.
Yes.
No, $50.
$50?
Fuck. Not the right price.
It'll drop in like 2 weeks.
It's a 3DS game.
Yes.
Being scaled up to consoles.
But it looks awesome when it's scaled up.
Yeah, but it really realistically should have been like an Xbox Live Arcade release.
Yeah, but it is like a full Resident Evil. Like it lasts you 10 hours and it's got CG. And
I'm just concerned. How good is it actually going to look?
I think it'll look legit.
Pretty good.
Okay. For $50?
I don't know shit about this game, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't pay $50.
It'll go on sale for $25 in like
a hot
4 minute?
Months.
Yeah.
If
I'd
that
say
long.
2 months.
I'm saying the weekend.
I mean, do they
weekend
really
before
have,
it comes out.
Do they really have any incentive to sell it for anything other than $50 when it first comes out? It's like,
to me, it sounds like when it's digital,
some
isn't it digital?
Is going
to
drop $50 on it in the first 2 weeks, so, and then everybody else will get it for the price that it should be.
That's
for.
Fair.
There's some new like multiplayer stuff, but there's like not even like a new epilogue.
Man, people
anything.
Love Resident Evil multiplayer.
Yeah, that's why people play Resident Evil. It's for multiplayer.
How long until Capcom goes, you know what? Fuck it. Resident Evil Monster Hunter. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of what Umbrella Chronicles was?
They wished it was. It was once again them trying to sell Monster Hunter to white people.
And which they
it's never gonna take.
It's not gonna happen.
Sorry.
We have it. It's called World of Warcraft.
Well, I'll give Monster Hunter another shot when it comes out in March here. I'll play it on the 3DS.
I might. Don't you need to use the side analog stick thing?
I have one. I bought one in Japan.
I bought one too and have never used it.
I used it for Resident Evil. That was the last one.
Oh, right. I bought it for Resident Evil, never played it, and we'll end up playing it on Xbox. Also, why isn't it coming to Vita? The fuck?
I bet Nintendo probably like had is at least enforced exclusivity on handhelds. So.
I guess it's just funny that it's going to be out on everything but the Vita, when the Vita could use it so much, and it would be so good on the Vita.
Or maybe Capcom just didn't want to waste money on the Vita development.
Maybe. Also, we have a few quick previews before we move on to the community segment. We have no reviews today because nothing really came out this week except
lots coming.
Ni No Kuni come out this week.
Yeah,
I played a little of it. You can check out the review on Games Radar. A reviewer liked it quite a lot. So
reviewer
if you're looking,
was a fan. If you like Studio Ghibli, which you know, My Neighbor Totoro, which I feel like I don't know.
Choose your next words carefully, Tom. They may be your last.
My Neighbor Totoro is one of the more underappreciated films ever made.
Okay.
That's Nico Bus, hell yeah. I would write a Nico Bus story.
I did not know where you were going with that.
Yeah,
sentence.
I thought you were about to take a negative turn, and I was about to leap over this table.
I've never seen it. Is it good?
Oh, it's great.
I mean, it's,
is it on Blu-ray?
It is.
Does anyone have it on Blu-ray?
I do.
Can I borrow it?
All right. Okay.
It's just, I mean,
you said all right, like it was like, all right, I guess you can, I guess.
Well, I just don't have, you haven't been a bad borrower. I've come to regret lending.
Basically, he's saying
things.
He doesn't trust you.
I mean, no, I don't blame you.
I kept your copy of Black Sad for over a year, so.
Yes, you did.
So I guess I owe you.
Yeah, you certainly did.
Anyway, Studio Ghibli teamed up with Professor Layton, Level 5. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
I mean, a better example of what they've made that's more related is they did handle most of the development of Dragon Quest.
They did Dragon Quest 8 and 9.
Which both of those were awesome.
The best Dragon Quest.
Yeah, and they also did White Knight Chronicles, which sucked.
Rogue Galaxy, they also did.
Which was my killer app for the PS3 and made me not play a JRPG ever again.
Did you guys play Rogue Galaxy?
Until Persona.
Oh.
Until Persona, apparently. Do we have an Office Vita?
Yeah, we got a few.
Okay. Do we have an Office Golden?
Yes, we do.
All right.
I think Ryan might be borrowing it.
You guys play Rogue Galaxy on the? It was like a late PS2 game.
I remember the cover.
I remember the ads.
It was like if Level 5 did Star Wars.
I remember
Wars.
The new story.
Lucas, we are so useless in this conversation.
Rogue Galaxy is also a good Level 5 RPG.
Yeah, they've made really good ones, including, apparently,
Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni.
And it's very cute, and it has a touching story, and it's uplifting to the human spirit and
all that jazz
and stuff.
So previews, though. Yesterday I saw Sins of a Dark Age.
Which threw me off when I looked at images because it's like Dark Age. Oh, this is not of a solar empire.
No, yes.
This is straight up medieval.
Yeah, developer of Sins of a Solar Empire making a MOBA.
Ironclad.
So last year I saw this at GDC almost a year ago.
Hmm.
Almost a year ago, yeah.
Getting close.
And then it was MOBA, which is League of Legends, Dota, whatever. It was a 4-on-4 MOBA, except each team had a fifth player that controlled all of the other units, like a StarCraft RTS.
That was
their big push for the game. That is gone. They completely removed that commander element.
Did they say why?
Yes.
And it just sucked?
They said they spent a lot of, like, for a small developer, a ridiculous amount of money trying to get it to work, and they gave me like a dozen reasons why it wouldn't work. We may be running a feature on why it didn't work in the future. But essentially, one of the easy ways to think about it is you want that person to be as powerful as one other ally. If they're much more powerful, it doesn't work. But that's impossible to do because let's say your hero is 100 power. If you want to go push a tower, you are spending 100 power to do that. He can always divide his power up as he sees fit, which automatically makes him not the same.
You just have like 3 lanes worth of creeps.
Yeah, they gave a ton of reasons. We should hopefully have a feature about it within the next few weeks. I'm really excited for this feature. I really hope it happens. But now it is essentially a League of Legends style game that's even easier to get into than League of Legends, with a bunch of really interesting elements that genuinely make it different. The main one is, I mean, if you play League of Legends, you control essentially an RTS unit with special powers, a bunch of different abilities. Just the one. You go around in a 3-lane level that's essentially 2 bases with 3 lanes connecting it. Has that typical level, except during the level you'll get random missions, such as defeat the cave troll or defeat the bridge troll, and all of a sudden in middle there's no more creeps. There's just a troll, and both teams have to fight over him, and killing him makes him drop a chest of gold that you need to bring back to your base, almost like capture the flag, because you walk slowly when you have it. You kill that person, you can bring it back to your base, and everyone gets a gold boost. Or there was another one that was there were essentially like an RPG kill rats quest. It was like kill 120 rats. As you kill them, your team has to kill that many. If you get killed during that, all of your kills go to the other team. So, because you're essentially, it's like collect rat pelts. And if whoever wins that one, the other team gets a debuff. So these will happen to kind of spice it up. It also has a bunch of other cool elements, such as there's a day-night cycle, like there usually is in a MOBA, except it's much more important to the fact that the brush in the game is called like Moon Blossom. And at night, it blossoms. And there are certain areas that have no brush during the day that at night are completely covered. Or areas like that it just gets bigger. And your field of view goes smaller at night. But the creeps change at night to night watch guards that have a really big field of view. So if you hug them, you have a better. There's a lot of really cool ideas. It also has a bunch of cool tech things. You can read a preview about it on GamesRadar next week. Other preview is sort of a pre/review because the game is technically you can just go get it now for free, which is Path of Exile.
Path of Exile, free to play, basically the Diablo 2 the game that everyone that was looking forward to Diablo 3 that loved Diablo 2. This is what they wanted but did not get from Diablo 3. So it's a free-to-play, it's actually by an indie dev studio, Grinding Gear Games, from New Zealand, which is kind of funny, because you can kind of hear it in the dialogue.
That's some, that can be either Kiwi really good language. Or really bad.
Yes.
Is it Kiwi?
You can, yeah, you can buy
is that pejorative? I don't even know.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Kiwi is...
I hope not. Cause
I think they, like, calling themselves that. Tom Golter, write in and let us know.
Yeah. One of our freelancers from New Zealand.
Yeah, we hire one. We can make fun of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really cool because they're emphasizing a huge amount of the game on player creativity.
I just want to talk about New Zealanders right now.
No.
I find it hilarious that New Zealanders and Australians don't like each other at all. Like,
I mean, I prefer people from the NZ.
The NZ? I've known a few Australians. They are hard drinkers in a delightful kind of way. They're a bit rowdy.
Okay.
I will say, a little rowdy. I was reading about, so I didn't realize that Tasmania is like right off the coast of Australia.
Are you high right now? I don't know what the hell's going on right now.
I just got so bored, and I felt like I needed, I don't know, I'm sorry.
It was the segue of Nintendo into MOBAs, and Tom just shut down.
And then I'm just like, you know what's interesting to me?
The Tasmanian Devil.
That recent, Mona in Tasmania, it's this crazy museum devoted to death and sexuality. And it is like the weirdest museum on the face of the planet. By
can
this
you take
guy.
Kids in there?
Yeah, anyway.
I went to a penis museum. Is that weirder? In Iceland.
You got some awesome tchotchkes.
I got
a dildo.
Keychains. Keychains that are hand-carved penis keychains.
Wow.
And I gave them to... I gave them to my family members as gifts from Iceland. I was really happy about
here,
that.
Here, have my penis.
Essentially.
Or have a penis.
A penis, not mine.
Right. Anyways, Path of Exile.
That's what we're talking about.
You got, basically, if you played Final Fantasy X, you probably remember most the sphere grid system, which let any character learn any ability, which...
So bored right now.
...was pretty cool. Tom,
yeah,
I'm looking at you.
Cool, yeah.
And this...
Yeah,
takes
when you,
that and puts it in an action RPG. So
if you look at the level, like the sphere grid in this game,
it is
massive. It's ridiculous.
It's like a web of spells and abilities. But you can pretty much do whatever you want with whatever class you want. So that hybridization combined with the fact that skills can be traded because they're items makes this really appealing.
And it's still a fun hack and slash loot hunt game.
Yeah, it's the combat itself is... on par, if not better.
Awesome. You wrote a feature on it.
I did.
Why it's the Diablo that you were looking for, essentially.
Yeah.
How many items? How many?
17, Tom!
In the game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are we talking 1,000?
They're randomized.
Probably infinite.
Infinite?
I don't have an answer for you there, Tom.
More and less than Diablo, did they say?
I mean,
I'd
it's
have to
all
imagine.
Random stat.
A lot.
That's like how many pixels are on the screen at any given time.
I mean, the amount of different types of loot, the varied loot is what makes the difference between a good loot collecting game and a bad one.
There's a lot of loot.
The
it's
problem
randomly...
with Diablo 3 is it had a lot of loot, but all the loot was kind of boring and the same.
Well, that and I played Diablo 3 recently just to get a comparison.
Right.
And the auction house prices now are insane. They're like, oh, 44 million for this just okay item. Because they have to deal with all the inflation of gold farmers.
That is a good game that is ruined by an auction house.
Yeah.
I feel like
it must have been Activision. They must have been like,
no,
find a,
it
really?
Wasn't. I think it was more Blizzard realizing that they want to make the same amount of money with Diablo that they make with WoW, because otherwise, what's the point? I've heard that the divide at Activision Blizzard is like they're estranged brothers. They're not making choices for
each
other.
I've heard similar things, yeah.
Although it is a little curious that the Blizzard's two most recent games have come out with Activision being their publisher.
Well, I mean, that's what
StarCraft
happens when
2 and,
people
Blizzard
publish
3.
Games.
What's that?
I'm confused.
So everything before Activision was involved with Blizzard was Blizzard. Blizzard awesome.
Yes, okay.
Everything after Activision got involved was...
Except, I mean, the WoW expansions people have loved.
Kind of awful. Yeah, but they still had the strong framework of WoW.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I think it's also if you look back at, like, retro game. Like, it's almost just something about, like, game developers that made really good games in the early 2000s and late 90s. Mm-hmm. Most of them haven't been doing well now because that doesn't automatically mean you can still make good shit.
And it's all just different people making the game.
It's also, I mean, everyone who works on World of Warcraft now works at Carbine, pretty much. Like, everyone left. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have every studio, like the Titan's Quest was half the development team from Diablo 2. WildStar is half the team from World of Warcraft.
Hellgate London.
Oh, God.
Bill Roper.
That was unfortunate.
I think he's at Disney. I don't know. Whatever.
Disney?
I guess the real question for Blizzard will be whatever their next MMO is.
Like Titan.
How that does. Yeah, how Titan does.
Right.
Well.
A lot riding on that.
Mm-hmm. A lot riding on that. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to go through our community section. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Section 3 of Radio Radar. Like I said, no reviews besides go read our review of Ni No Kuni. It's super fun. It's super cute. It's Pokemon. It's just Pokemon, you guys.
Except with British accents.
It's Pokemon with British accents.
It's more unlikable.
It's Pokemon with British accents and character, and it takes place most, and the characters are supposed to be from America.
America.
Community section. Last week, the question of the week was, what's the first violent game you remember playing? Tom, you weren't here last week. What is the first violent game you remember
first
playing?
First violent game I remember. I mean, like, define violence.
You define violence.
Because if we're just talking about, like I remember playing 1942, which is shooting stuff.
Let's say the first one that you were like, wow, this is violent.
Probably Doom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good fair one. Yeah. Mine was GTA 1. I remember playing PC GTA 1 where I'm just like, I'm running people over. This is awesome. Look through the questions. Do you have any? I pulled up the person that I believe is the winner. Yes. So Lord Zarlon is the winner. You can send us an email at we're on Twitter at GR Radio Radar. You can send us an email at RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com. Here's your response. The first one I remember was some weird light gun arcade cabinet from the 80s. It had almost completely naked people in torture devices, and you would shoot the ghosts that were coming to get them. But you could also shoot the people, and that was more fun. The reason I chose this one is because I love the fact that we actually have been talking about this game at the office recently.
We have.
The game is Chiller.
It is Chiller, and it is chilling
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah, it is a really, really weird game.
So the whole point is you can either shoot these people that are just strung up, totally defenseless.
They fall apart.
You literally see blood, guts, and skeleton. And you can either shoot them apart piece by piece or figure out the trick that kills them instantly, like shooting a thing that smashes the guy's head while he screams.
Wow.
But in 80s digitized sound. So it's like.
Who made it?
It was some
Blizzard.
Oh God, it was some. Oh, yeah. It was some company that was just like, I think they had done some Wild West games that were okay, and then they were like, let's shock people into playing our game. So
X-ity.
They went extreme.
EXIDY.
Yes.
What happened to them?
The last game that they made was in 1989. It was called Whodunit.
Who did that?
Chiller was made in 86. Before that, they made Combat, which is, I think, is actually a pretty...
Yeah, that's a super classic Atari game.
Boulder Dash.
So, yeah, Lord Zarlon, you won the question of the week. Shoot us an email at RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com.
You are the most demented fellow out there.
Yes, you disturb us.
Good work.
This week's question of the week. So, THQ is gone. If you personally could own any THQ franchise, what would it be, and what would you want to do with it? So I'll go first. I would love to own Red Faction, and I would love to make Red Faction into the game that Saints Row the Third was, and that is, again, it's open world, it's big, it's outside, except go with co-op, go with a bigger story, essentially make a spiritual successor to Red Faction Guerrilla. I want that.
I would get the WWE license, but I would only have them make a remake of No Mercy for XBLA.
Every year, remake of No Mercy.
just update the roster, but same controls every time. And it'd be super cheap, but I could sell it on XBLA every year to probably the same to 50,000 people. Yeah. I bet I'd make,
more than that.
A pretty
penny. Yeah, 100,000 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would just go with Saints Row because I have no better option. That's I think I could make some pretty dirty jokes. I could do for my job to make dirty jokes, and it was just like, all right, Tom. 9 hours today.
I like how you're in game developer mode, so you're like, it's not an 8-hour job. Right. This is a 9-hour job.
I need you to sit down, think of some really profane things.
Some raunchy material.
Visual humor, go multimedia with it. I want some
what makes this
really
so
creative
funny,
ways to curse.
I believe you're right, because that's not your job now, and that's basically what you do.
Yeah.
So if you were actually told to do that, right. Wow.
I'd have a good time.
Yeah.
I am going to get obscure on you guys and go with Alter Echo, which was a weird platformer for PS2 and I believe Xbox and GameCube. And it was like you play as this alien-suited, like, shape-shifting dude who could climb on walls.
I think I remember that.
I don't even think I played it. Maybe I rented it. But it just looked really cool.
I thought you were going to go with Homeworld or something.
No. Oh, God, no.
So that's what you would go with?
That's what I would go with, Alter Echo.
All right, so let us know in the comments what THQ franchise you personally would like to own and what you would do with it, and we'll give you a game or something. What we have like a bunch of copies of like Walking Dead.
We got a
Dead.
Lot of PS3 games.
We got some
right
random
now.
Shit lying around the office.
If you have an
I
Xbox,
see a cup over there that we can send. It looks like
Heroes
we have
of
some
Kingdom.
Wires. We have some tape. That,
we also have games.
Oh, we got games as well. We got several games.
If you have a PC or a PS3, we have a ton of games. If you have an Xbox 360, we have some games.
We have a copy of Last Story that I think we've been
trying to get.
No.
That is gone out the door.
Which is good because that game's actually worth some money now.
Yeah.
All right.
That person made a good choice.
And it's like the limited edition, I believe.
Oh,
yeah. Also, what you can do is, if you're desperate, just get a PS3 game, sell it at a game store.
Shit.
And just
free money.
Buy what you want to buy.
Yeah.
Free money.
So, yeah, all
it's
you have to
gift.
Do is
you
comment.
Can do whatever you want.
Or send us a message at grradioradar on Twitter. Or email us
at radioradar@gamesradar.com. We also have a Facebook page, but I don't recommend you sending us a message through it because I don't know.
I wouldn't we probably wouldn't see it
that,
no
I don't know.
Maybe in the future we have a community manager.
We do have a community manager starting soon, former PC gamer intern Greg
Henniger.
I used to call him Heimerdinger.
Greg Heimerdinger.
He was on a bunch of the PC Gamer podcasts, so if you ever listen to those.
He was on an episode of Talk Radar.
No kidding.
For, I think, 7 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, when you
Christmas special.
Clearly memorable.
When you ruined his life by.
No, he was actually
Henry
all.
Curse him
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I think you curse him out.
Who cursed him out?
I think you do.
I do not remember.
Somebody cursed him out. He was in an episode for a few seconds, so Talk Radar alumni.
Greg
Heimerdinger. Is going to be our community manager starting in a few weeks.
That's exciting.
It is.
As long as we're plugging stuff, don't forget to review us on iTunes, guys.
You really should.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I heard a little birdie told me that we're going to have a new Pokemon podcast coming up soon.
What?
Uh-oh.
Yes. A wild Pokemon podcast appears.
Is that
that should be the intro to the show now.
I was going to say that might be a good name.
A wild Pokemon. Well, I got to see what our competing Pokemon podcasts have to say. But yeah, it's... some long-time listeners may remember there was a similar. We had a Pokemon podcast before. This is a spiritual successor to it, let's say.
But right.
Yes.
Now that X and Y is on the horizon, we got stuff to talk about again.
It doesn't really diggity. Make sense to do a Pokemon podcast when there isn't a Pokemon on the horizon, but when there is.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, are we ready?
So those will probably happen every other week.
Hosted by Mr. Henry Gilbert.
Yep.
HG.
And the anyone else in the office Gilbert? Who wants to talk about Pokemans.
Right. Which will not be me, because I don't... I mean, I play Blue and Red.
Well, once you play Persona, you'll want to play the American version of Pokemon.
We'll see what happens. Wait, Persona is like... Persona is Pokemon?
Somewhat like it.
I thought it was all just like a decision simulator.
No, you collect monsters, too.
That's less interesting to me. Anyway.
They're tied to tarot cards,
so that... Expect that Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
First episode.
That'll be exciting.
It'll be in the Radio Radar stream, though, so you won't have to subscribe to it.
Yeah, we're going
to
do some more stuff like that. You may remember Games Radar's podcast from last year, Sound Radar. Mm-hmm. Sophia Tong hosting a music podcast. some of those episodes might start popping up in the stream now and again.
It's possible. We also have Spoiler Cast coming up. DMC will be our first one.
Yep, coming within the next week or so.
Right.
And probably for every major release you care about for the next few months. We are ready for podcasts. Also,
we're doubling down on... Some people may say, you know what, podcasts, they don't have much place in the world.
Wrong,
but
sir.
They're wrong. Yeah. We're Games Radar is putting our full... Every penny we have
into your ears,
into podcasting.
Also, we can't really talk about it that much because we don't want to spoil anything. But be prepared for some really awesome video stuff.
Yeah, we're doing some video stuff.
A lot of.
We're not talking about that yet.
We probably shouldn't talk about it.
Why not?
Because we don't know if we don't want to say it before we know exactly for sure when it's going to happen or what it is.
I don't keep secrets well.
You don't. So we're going to end the show. We will talk to you next week.
Gentlemen, I would posit to you, which has better characters? Which has better characters?
Not only do I feel like we've done this question before.
I feel like someone is coming in here and intentionally creeping
I've had the same card.
I have had the same ones too. And I know for 100% fact that I do it correctly every fucking
so
time.
Here's my
I don't know who's doing it.
Here's my solution. We have to stop relying on this system and just shuffle.
Ah.
Because then
that would be really easy.
Then
I don't know why we're not doing that.
Because you're.
I mean, there's like 150 cards in this deck. We could just very easily shuffle.
So
and probably not have dupes.
As far as the.
I mean, we're going through 3, 6, 9, 12 cards each game,
and we're getting the same 12.
And we're at 22 episodes.
23
episodes.
Michael
so 22
Jordan.
23 times 12 is. Many several over 200. Probably we're just cycling through the entire deck.
No.
No?
Your system is flawed.
Shit!
246.
I went with Dragon's Lair for what has the best characters. Probably one of the one of the first games with characters that are actually worth acknowledging. I'd say it's the earliest game that on our list of like our greatest heroes.
If the characters
I'm sorry.
Are
Henry yeah. used that same card for the same question last really? Week.
So yeah.
Not
somebody
last week,
last week no way. Fucked it up.
No way. I didn't use this one last week.
No I remember. No. The one Tom picked.
Oh.
That was your pick
for this same
last
right.
week.
Last week. Yeah. So Tom, what did you did?
I picked any Kinect game. I picked any.
What? I'm interested as to see why, because I want to see if it's the same exact reason Henry did last week on this same question with that
oh,
same
it's
card.
Possible. I didn't listen. Let's see. I picked any Kinect game because Kinect games involve the avatars of the player. So, thereby, if it is the avatar of the player, then you, friend, are the best character in the game.
That was wonderful, Henry. I loved when you did that last week.
Well, mine this week is Tekken. I mean, you've got such a diverse...
What's Tekken you so long? That's what I said last week when Lucas played Tekken.
Yeah. You know, it's got a kangaroo and a dinosaur. And,
this is the simplest part of the podcast, and we so consistently fuck it up.
I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, you were not.
That's not on me.
I blame Ryan. Let's blame Ryan.
Let's blame Ryan.
I have a system.
You have to say what yours is.
Oh, I did Bioshock because you got Big Daddy's Little Sisters, Andrew Ryan. You got Sander Cohen.
I'm having a hard time paying attention because of how bad we fucked this up.
Didn't even try.